3 is where we're going to be. And again, we're picking up. This is part 2 from the Bible study that was began this morning. And I'm going to say it's a Bible study. It's because that's what our meeting is tonight. In all fairness, guys, this is more of a message than it is a Bible study. Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore.' Joshua said unto the people, 'Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.'" Father in heaven, we thank you, dear God, for the opportunity, the time. We thank you for this venue that you've allowed us to have. Lord, we thank you for the continual ability to meet one with another. We pray that you give us guidance, grace, and mercy. Forgive us where we have failed you. And we just simply ask you this evening, if you will, Lord, meet with us for this short period of time. Bless us, dear God, through your precious, wonderful, glorifying word. Lord, we give you honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, we've already seen this morning the first 2 points. These first 2 points are going to be that of the pattern that was set. That is the pattern that was given. And first, we saw the point of reference, if you will, that was set. Now, point number 3, I want us to see the point of reference and the pattern behind, or that is looking toward the person. The person. This is key. Look with me in verse 9. Down in verse 9, the Bible says, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, 'Come hither and hear the words of the Lord. Lord your God, of the Lord your God.'" So, beloved, what we see here in God this morning or this evening, we see God is the Lord your God, the Lord your God. So, sub point number 1 on this third point is that God is personal. Our God is personal. The Lord is not some genie in a bottle or a God resting on a hillside somewhere, nor is he an imaginary, an imagery, if you will, of someone's creation. That's not what God is. He is personal to each and every one of us. Our God, he's ours. He's yours. He's mine. To the saved, born-again believer in the Word of God today, or born-again believer by the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, guys, he is a personal God to you. So there's a person, number 1, who is personal. There's a person, number 1, who is personal. Not only is he a person who is personal, but sub-point number 2, we know that he is powerful. He is powerful. Look down at verse 10 with me. Verse 10 says, "And Joshua said, 'Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Pezerites and the Girgasites and the Amorites and the Jebusites,' that he will drive them out." So he's not only a powerful God, not only is he the Lord your God, being personal, but he's a powerful God because he is a living God. He's a living God. Guys, the Lord is not some dead God made with man's hands as the heathen worship, as those that have the idols and the statues and the icons and all of these different things that they worship. That's not what our God is. He's alive and he's living. He is powerful. He is the epitome thereof of pure power. The old hymn reads, "There is power in the blood." And that blood is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blood is the blood of our Lord and Savior today, who is our God. So we understand that he's the Lord your God. He's personal. He's a living God. He's powerful. But thirdly, this person, beloved, is the Lord of all the earth. That means he's present. That means he is present. He's here now. Look in verse 11. "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan." Guys, this is the Lord that we serve today. This is the Lord that you and I serve. This is the Lord that we worship. This is the Lord that we follow into uncharted waters, into areas where we have never been before, as we have read in our opening text, "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." Haven't been here before, guys. The Lord that we serve is both personal, powerful, and present with us today. And we follow Him and obey Him into these uncharted waters, into areas that we have never been before. It's whom we trust in a new time, in a new era. Unfailing trust, if you will. And dependence waiting upon Him to see the wonders of tomorrow. Guys, let's talk about where we are right here, right now. I mean, we are in a world today, we are in a society this evening that, you know, we've never been before. We've never been in a situation like we're in right now. You know, we've never seen the likes of 2020. I mean, guys, when this new year rolled over, none of us expected to be in the situation that we're in right now. The overwhelming majority of people figured that this new year, that the year 2020, will carry on just like the rest of them. That it would go just like every other year has gone before. No one thought that we'd be doing online services on a Wednesday, sending them out to our church and the rest of the world. No one thought that we would be holding Zoom calls for our midweek Bible study on Tuesday or training people over the internet. For the most part, most people right now never figured that our world would come to this. Most of us figured that we would continue on living exactly the way we have year after year after year after year. The fabric of our life, and for the most part I'd say, the fabric of everyone's life, has completely changed. We know not what the future may hold, but we know who holds it. I mean, He knows exactly what's going to happen, guys, and it's not our job to know. It's only our job to follow. It's only our job to keep our eyes, as we heard this morning, on that point of reference. It's our job to follow that pattern, and that pattern is set by the person of our Lord, our God, who is a living God. Guys, can you imagine if we knew what the future holds? Can you imagine if we knew what's going to happen tomorrow? Can you imagine if 1 month ago today we knew what was going to happen over, for the next 4 weeks? Think about that with me just for a second. Imagine going back 1 month ago today. Today's the 15th of April. Let's go back to the 15th of March, which was a Sunday. So go back 1 month. What would you have done differently if you'd have known the next 4 weeks were going to transpire exactly like they did? Can you imagine if we knew who would be lost to this virus 2 months ago? What if we know who was going to lose their life? What would we have done different? Can you imagine if we would have known that we would be on lockdown in the manner that we are? Who would you have spoken to on the 12th and 13th? Of March, knowing that you're going to be on lockdown now? I mean, what would you be doing different a month ago if you knew all of this was going to happen? Fair play, guys. If you're reading your Bible now more than ever, praise the Lord for that. But in all honesty, and I'm not trying to poke, I'm not trying to do any of those things. But you should have been reading your Bible before all this happened. You should have been committed and dedicated before all this happened. You know, there's a pattern that the Lord has set. And that pattern that is set on the person that's given us the point of reference to follow is not just in times of trouble. It's not just in times of despair. It's not just in a time of a lockdown, guys, because we haven't been here before. This is a new uncharted waters for the majority of us, if not all of us in the world today. And, you know, congratulations if you've improved your Bible reading. But I will say this. Should have been doing it before. Same thing with prayer. Same thing with church. Online, yeah, we're doing online church. Praise the Lord for it. I am so thankful that the Lord has afforded us the capabilities and the ability and the know-how to get the sermons, get the messages online, and get them where they belong. Praise God for that. I am happy. And yeah, we were a bit ahead of the curve because we've been doing online services for quite a long time now. I'm thankful for that. But the true test is going to be when all this is over, whenever it is, how much will you read, how much will you pray, and how much will you attend church faithfully then? We haven't passed this way heretofore. And my friend, there's a reason. If you and I knew who would be saved tomorrow, it would take all the fun out of it when we see them get saved and born again. If we knew the blessing of the next year, it would take all the joy and place it to the side. But on the negative side, what about deaths? Beloved, if you knew that a child was going to die of a disease tomorrow, you would not enjoy him today. And that's the sad part. Abraham had no earthly idea where he was going when the Lord commanded him to walk. The Lord just said, walk. The only thing that he knew, that the land that his feet would touch would become his descendants one day. And therefore he trusted God and he followed him. Same with Moses. They were all forced to wander in 40 years in the wilderness. Moses did not know where he was going. He just followed the lead. He followed the flame. He followed the cloud. He just followed where the Lord led him. He just kept his eyes on God and he walked. There's a story of a leaky ship that I remember told years ago. And it went like this. It says that there was a ship one time crossing the sea. It was a leaky ship at that. And the passengers became worried, so they began to speak to the captain, and they expressed their fears of drowning, and the captain agreed. He said, true. He said, she's a leaky ship, and we could very well go down. He said, but the boilers on this ship are old, and they're temperamental. We could very well go up, but whether we go up or we go down, we must go on. Whether we go up or go down, we must go on. And beloved, that's where we are today. We don't know what the rest of 2020 holds. We don't know what the rest of this month is holds. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know that. We may go down and say we may die. We may go up. The Lord may return to the air. But one thing is for sure today, we must go forward. There is a personal, powerful, present God that is leading our way. And we must keep our eye on Him, for He is our point of reference, my friend. He is personal. He is present. He is our pattern. But lastly tonight, He is our providence. He is our providence. Look in verses 13 through 17 in our text here. Verse 13 says, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam. And that is beside Zeredan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground. And all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Here's a nugget for you this evening. We see the mighty rushing river stand up as a heap. The greatest force known to man, the greatest force on earth today, was standing as a heap of straw. The Lord stood the water at the city of Adam. By the way, that is the only place in Scripture that the city of Adam is found. He cut off the flow to the Salt Sea, which is also known as the Dead Sea, a place where nothing lives. But this Jordan River, this feat that the Lord provided here, this Jordan River is known as the River of Judgment, the River of Judgment. This River of Judgment was cut off from the city of Adam. And why is that important for us to see this evening? It ceases to provide water to a place of death, the Salt Sea. Now the Apostle Paul said this, For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The person, the path, the place of death were cut off.
by the providential hand of the Lord, your God, a living God. This was accomplished by simply following Him, by keeping their eyes on God. Beloved, can I say this to you here tonight, and we're working toward closing this sermon off, but we too have crossed the river of judgment. With the curse of Adam cut off from the place of death. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've never been here before. We've never been to this place in our life. And maybe we'll never be back to this place in our life again. But here's one thing we do know for certain. The place where we are given the option to fully and faithfully trust the Lord for salvation is set by a pattern. It's made by preparation. It's founded in a person with a providential hand to eternal salvation. For you have not passed this way heretofore, beloved. Look toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Look toward the living God. Look toward this loving God who knows all of tomorrow, and simply go after it. No matter what uncertainty we find in our life, no matter what struggle, no matter what days of despair or darkness that we enter into or depression we're dealing with, one thing we know for sure, if we keep our eyes on Christ and we follow Him and we go after Him, a difference will be made, not only in our life, but the lives of those around us. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity and time to be together. We pray, Father, that you bless this message to the heart and soul of everyone that may hear it. And Lord, I know it's short tonight, but I ask of you, Lord, to please just take the shortness of this sermon, Lord, and bless the hearts of everyone who will partake. Lord, give them comfort, guidance, and direction. And help us in these uncertain times keep our eyes upon you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.